Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. It's Elder Angelique Lawrence coming to you with another edition of Truth Finders. Listen, I need you to go call a friend and text a neighbor and let them know that Truth Finders is on the air. Hallelujah. For those of you who are joining us for the very first time, this is where we dig into the Word of God to find our victory in Christ Jesus. So listen, I need you to go grab your pen, your paper, and your Bible as we get into the Word of God. And while you're doing that, amen, I want to remind you how to contact us here at Truth Finders. You can always go to our Facebook page, amen, Perfecting Love Missions, amen. You can also email us at perfectinglovemissions@gmail.com, or you can also just put a comment in the comment section at the bottom of this episode. So by now, hallelujah, you should have your pen and your paper, and we're going to get straight to it on today, amen. Let me start off with a prayer. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We glorify, magnify, and worship you in the beauty of holiness. Truly, God is good, and this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, Lord God. We thank you and praise you on today that we have the mind of Christ and the heart of God. We ask you just to come in and just have your way in this teaching, Lord God. You take over like never before, Lord God. Let me decrease and you increase, Lord God, because we know it's not by our own might or power, but it's by your Spirit, Lord God. So I thank you right now that you're moving by your Spirit even now, Lord God. You're revealing yourself to us, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I thank you for your presence, your anointing that comes in to remove the burdens and to destroy the yokes, Lord God. So I just bless your name. Hallelujah. I thank you. Hallelujah. I praise you. Hallelujah. I magnify you. Hallelujah. We glorify your name right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you just take over. Just have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Just have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way on today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you. We bless you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you all, fellow truth finders. And as usual, I want to start off with a couple of minutes on what we talked about last time we were together. And last time we were together, we talked about the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We see in scriptures, in Matthew and Acts, amen, what Jesus told him. He said, go wait until you've been endowed with power. He said power and fire, amen. And so we know that the Holy Ghost is a consuming fire, amen. And so last time we talked about us having that fire. It's not just our regeneration when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now we have to get to a point that we're Holy Ghost filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's what he said in Acts. He's going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire, amen. So if you need to want to know more about that, amen, you can go to our last episode here on Blog Talk Radio called Fire, the Holy Spirit. But on today, fellow truth finders, I want to talk about sin defined. Sin defined. What's interesting is I was reading my Bible a couple of days ago, and I seen this sin defined. And everybody I said it to, they had the same question, but what is sin defined? And so on today, I'm going to, hallelujah, share with you what the Holy Spirit gave me. Amen. And so when we look at sin, sin is a faculty or defective state of human nature in which the self is estranged from God. And so basically sin separates you from God. It's something that comes between you and God. And one thing that I know, hallelujah, when we look at sin, especially as believers, sometimes we're not sure what sin is. I know I've heard a lot of people say it. It says the commandments, it's this. But sin arises in the heart and mind. So when we look at sin, you want to always go to motives and intents. What are your intents? What's your motives? When we look at the law, especially here in America, I've heard attorneys argue that the spirit of the law, what the law was meant to do, when they go into the judge and say, hey, that law was not meant for that. This law was meant for this. prime example. So my sister works for the Department of Labor, and she processes the visas for people to come over when we don't have enough laborers here. For instance, like a farmer. If a corn farmer does not have enough people to pick his, enough employees to pick his corn, he can solicit from other countries, but labor will come over and help him pick the corn. Amen. So that was the intention of the law, was to help in areas here in America that labor was few, like stuff that Americans just didn't want to do anymore, but other countries, people from other countries would be happy to come do. And so the spirit of the law was to help farmers and people who didn't have enough employees. But let's look at how the law was used later down the line. Some tech companies back in Silicon Valley took the law, fired all their high-paying salaried people, and brought in laborers at a lower cost from other countries. And so now we see the law was meant to do good on one side, but someone took that same law and turned it into something greedy and profitable. And so when we look at sin and we look at the law, because a lot of people say sin is the law, the thing about sin is, like I said earlier, sin arises in the heart and the mind. That's what sin is. The execution is a result of it. And so a lot of times we think, well, somebody killed. But because the law says thou shalt not kill. But the spirit of the law is it started in someone's heart and mind. Amen. When we go back to Genesis, amen, Cain and Abel. Cain had in his mind and heart to kill his brother over jealousy. And so when we look at sin, let's start off here. We're going to go to St. John. We're going to start here in St. John chapter 16. And get over there with me, fellow truth finders. St. John chapter 16. And I'm going to read for you verses 8 through 11. And I really kind of want to take my time. I know sometimes we go through here, and I try to keep up with the time because we only have 30 minutes here. But I really want you all to get this. I feel like this is very important for the body of Christ, because I think sometimes we're confused at what sin is and what it looks like. But one thing we've just learned is that sin arises in your hearts and mind. It's your intentions that God is looking at. The actions is a follow-up to what your motives and intentions, what was in your heart and in your mind, amen. So we look at John 16. I'm going to read for you verse 8 through 11. And I had never read this before. And it says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world. He will correct the world. Amen. He will show the world. And he will come and he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And this is Jesus talking about when he sends the Holy Spirit. And so when we look at this, he says, of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. And of judgment because the prince of the air, the world, is judged. So Jesus is saying here, the world is wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. He said, number one, because sin, people do not believe. They believe sin is something else, but sin is simply those who don't believe. He said, two, in righteousness, right standards, because I'm going to a father where you will see me no more. And they feel like if he's not there, hallelujah, that there's no righteous people, that the only way to be righteous, amen. And then number three, he says, judgment. Because the prince of this world, which is the adversary, our devil, now stands condemned. And so he explained to us, he said, I came to do a work. I can't eradicate sin because that starts in your heart and your mind. And we think that we can eradicate sin on our own. Or we think that if we do these actions, we're not in sin, but we're safe. But God said, no, you have to understand where the root of sin comes from. It comes from the heart of the mind of the people, amen. And Jesus was trying to explain to them, you all got this wrong. You think it's good people, but it's not good people, it's God people, people who are obeying him, who believe in him. And so Jesus said, one, sin because people do not believe in me. Number two, you're wrong about righteousness because I'm going to the Father where you will see me no more. They think he's supposed to stay there, hallelujah, and govern them. But that's not how our God works. And number three, he said, the world is wrong about judgment because I'm judging the prince of this world. He's condemned. Those things that he's doing, that's why he said, you know, when we look at the Psalms, amen, chapter 37, The first thing he says, fret not thyself at evildoers, but be envious against the workers of iniquity, because they shall be soon be cut off. And so when we look at God's judgment, when people sin against God, their judgment is already in place. And so God is like, look, but I need you all to know what sin looks like. Because sometimes we're just chasing. We're walking around in condemnation because we think this is a sin, that's a sin, that's a sin. But Apostle Paul told us in, hallelujah, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to him that is in Christ Jesus that's walking after the spirit and not after the flesh. Amen. So the difference between as someone who sins and a sinner is, a sinner is a practicing sinner, always practicing sin. They're always thinking sin. They're always doing sin. Whereas people like us, believers, spirit-filled believers, who are chasing after God, we may sin, but we're not habitual sinners. Amen. And so we are letting it work out of us. Amen. And so let's look at sin defined so you can know what sin looks like. And we're going to go over to Proverbs, which is our book of wisdom. Amen. And Solomon gives us a lot of things that we may know what sin looks like. Amen. Because sometimes we think we can stop it, but we were shaped in sin. Amen. We were born in iniquity and shaped in sin. Our very nature is sinful. Amen. And so the things we say and do that are sinful, only person who can work that out of us is Jesus. Amen. And so when we look at sin defined, the first thing I want to say to sin defined is, let's look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. Let's read that. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. So the first thing I need you to know what sin is defined is, when it says here in 10 and 19, in the multitude of words, there wanted lack not sin, but he that refrains his lips is wise. So the first thing when we decide sin, vain talk. Most people go into sin when they talk too much. And a lot of times people don't think so. They just talk too much. I found out for me personally, if I start to babble, I start to fall into sin. I start saying stuff that's not godly. And that's why, hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. This is why Solomon said, don't talk so much. Because the tongue, even James talk about that tongue, man, that tongue gets you in trouble every time. Because it does so many things because we just rattle off, vain, just talk. But God doesn't want us to, and that's how we get into sin. And so one of the first definitions of sin is vain talking, Proverbs 10 and 19. A second, hallelujah, example of sin defined will be Proverbs chapter 14. Let's just flip over a couple of pages. Proverbs chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse 21. 14 and 21 says this, he that despises his neighbor sin, that he that has mercy on the poor, happy is he. A second defined sin is contempt of others, resentfulness, going back to the law, covetedness. Because when we look at all the other laws in the Ten Commandments, most of it is centered around covetedness. Amen. And so what's happening here, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. What's happening here is when we want what other people want, when we're not content in what we are, that's why Apostle Paul told us, in Philippians, in whatever state I find myself, I have to be content. Because if I'm not content, I am going to fall into sin. My intentions and motives are going to be something outside of the will of God. Hallelujah. What's going to happen is if I'm not content with what I have, I'm going to steal. I'm going to connive. I'm going to manipulate. I'm going to lie all to get what I want. And so the second thing when we look at sin define contempt for others. You have to be content in what God has given you, where you are, where God has placed you. If you're not content, you're going to fall into sin. Amen. A third thing when we look at sin defined, let's go over to Proverbs 24 and 9. Let's flip over to Proverbs 24 and 9. And it says this, the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. When we look at foolish thoughts, planning intentions. Amen. You ever see somebody plan? Well, I'm going to get that. And I'm going to, you know, they're foolish thoughts. You know somebody who has evil thoughts because they look at everything. They look at everything from an evil intention. Amen. Have you ever, you know, like I live in the suburbs. And somebody might leave their car door open, or they might, kids might leave their bike out on the lawn. But most people in the area, it's not a big deal. But when you have someone who has foolish thoughts, the first thing they think is, I'm going to take that bike because they just left it there. I'm going to steal that car because they gave me the opportunity, they left the door open. When we look at foolish thoughts, cruel intentions, bad intentions, intentions are never good towards people. You're always thinking the evil part of it. You're always going after that. That's what the sin looks like. And then, like we said, the action is thief, stealing, lying, conniving. Those things start to come up. Those characteristics, those things that we find in Galatians chapter 5, amen? And so another thing when we look at sin defined, because we said sin starts in the heart of the man first, let's look at John chapter 3, verse 18. And I know we are all familiar with John chapter 3, 16, amen? But let's jump down to 18, because I need you to see this. Because sometimes we want to go through a checkbox, hallelujah, and tell people what's sin and what's not, amen. Well, one thing God showed me early on in salvation, he said in John 3:16, he said, he that believe on him is not condemned. We're not guilty. We're not in condemnation. But he that believes not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. When you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you are in sin. Simple as that. And people's like, well, you know, no. It specifically states either you believe in the Son of God or you don't believe in the Son of God. But there's no middle ground. There's no higher power. Amen. There, you know, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible said it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. He said, you know, the Father says, if you try to come in any other way, you're a thief and a robber. Amen. Salvation came through Jesus Christ only. And if you don't believe that, amen, you are in sin. What is sin? You're separated from God. You can't have any fellowship with God. And so for you to think that you can practice other things or other gods or do other things and not do it the way God say do it, you are in sin. And you need to know that. Amen. Let's jump over to Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, we're going to look at chapter 3, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, let me get over there right quick. 3 and 12 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departed from the living God. People who don't believe, hallelujah, not only is it a sin, it turns your heart, and you do just the opposite of what God's nature. Everything that's good and pure and just, you will do the opposite when you don't believe. And that's what God's trying to get us to see, that sin comes from unbelief in him, amen. Another thing sin defines, so we said sin defined is first vain talking. Then we said it's contempt for others, covetousness, amen. Number three, we said it's foolish thoughts, bad intentions, planning evil against people, amen. We said number four was unbelief, when you don't believe in God. Now let's get over to James. James chapter 4. The book of James, we're going to go to chapter, and we're going to go to verse 17, amen. 4 and 17 says this. Therefore, to him that know to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. And so now when we look at the fifth one, the neglect of opportunity. Well, you're like, Elder, what does that mean? You neglect to do those things that you know is good and rather go with the things that are bad. You know what is evil. You know what sin is, but you choose to do it. That's what a transgression is. You choose to do it. Amen. You choose to go that way, and you neglect the opportunity to do right by God. You know that God said, hallelujah, to help the poor, amen, but you walk right past them, amen, with no compassion at all for them. You know that's the way God works. You know what God does. You know, you're aware of how God moves and how he reacts with his people, amen, hallelujah. And so God is dealing with us about not doing, neglecting of opportunities to do good or do right by him, amen. And so when we look at the next one, amen, is transgressions of the law. Let's look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says this. Well, whosoever committeth sin transgress also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. When we look at transgression, iniquity is the sin that's already in us. But transgression is, I knew it was a sin, but I did it anyway. I know God told me to not sleep with somebody if I'm not married, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's a sin. That's a transgression against God because you know better. Amen. Transgression is willingly doing the opposite of what God told you to do. Amen. Transgressions is knowing that you're doing wrong. It's not so much the act, it's the fact that you know it wrong and you choose to do it because God gave us free will, amen? And so we have the opportunity to say, no, I'm not going to do that because I know God does not like that. How do I know God doesn't like that? Because I read it in his word when he told me not to, hallelujah, be a fornicator and adultery, amen? And so when we look at sin, when we look at the actual act of sin, it wasn't the act of sleeping with the person that was the sin. It was the act that you knew it wasn't wrong. Because those who don't know, they can't be punished for it. Amen. Those who do not know God, those who don't have a relationship, no, have never heard. Amen. They're not responsible until they know. When you know to do good and you don't do it, just like we looked at the neglect of opportunity, that is sin. Amen. And let's look at 1 John. Let's flip over to 1 John 5 and 17. So we said one was vain talk, two, contempt for others. All this is the definition of sin, amen. Number three was foolish thought, bad intentions. Number four was just simply unbelief. Number five is neglect of opportunity, which means to do those things you know to do. You know it's good, but you just won't do it, amen. You know you're supposed to do it, amen. The next that we said was transgressions of the law. You know what the law is. You know the spirit of the intent of the law when God said that, amen, because we know that God, his marriage is covenant, amen. He created, that's the first institute he created was marriage. So for you to have sexual acts with somebody outside of marriage, you know that that's not God, but you do it anyway. Now it's sin to you who know to do good and don't do it, amen. The next one is 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, amen. And when we look at this one, it says 1 John chapter 5, verse 17 says this. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. And so when we look at all unrighteousness, he's talking about is wickedness. Goes back to that, like we said before, intentions and motives. Are your intentions pure? Are your motives pure when you did it? All unrighteousness. You know, sometimes we have people who help people, not because God told them to, not because it's the law. They help people for one, that they may be seen, or for two, hallelujah, thinking they're going to get something back in return. It's sin because your heart is impure. God loves a cheerful giver. That's what his words say. In all things, your time, your effort, everything you do, your money, everything, God loves a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. If you're not, hallelujah, a cheerful giver, or you're not giving with the heart of a giver, but you're giving with the heart to get something in return, that's unrighteousness. And that's when we say all unrighteousness, when your intentions are not good and when your intentions are not pure. And that's what sin looks like. It goes back to, like I said earlier, it's the mind and the heart. What's in your mind? What's in your heart? When you commit the acts, once that stuff sets up in your heart and mind, when you actually go for and execute those things, then that's the outward appearance of sin before God. But it all had to start in your mind and heart. And that's why Jesus was talking about you sin when you just think in your heart you want to sleep with somebody. And that's what Jesus was trying to get us to see. Like, you know, the law says the actual acts, but I'm dealing with the spirit of the law. I'm dealing with the things that the law was intended to curb in you. Amen. Covetousness, lying, hallelujah, sleeping, adultery. Those things I'm trying to get to you, that you get that out of your heart and mind. And so you say to me, well, Elder Lawrence, I try to live right, but I seem to not be able to do it. Like Apostle Paul said, whenever I wanted to do good, evil was always present because you're sin sick. But the only way to not be sin sick, the only way to not walk in sin, the only way to clean your heart and your mind, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans 10 and 9 says this, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, hallelujah, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. For you, hallelujah, for you to not be found in sin, the only way, hallelujah, because it's not your acts. The acts are a result of your wicked mind and a wicked heart. But when you can transform, when you believe that Jesus Christ died on the third day, he rose and did it for me, the Bible says that you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he's going to take away the old heart and give you a new heart. Amen. The only way for you not to be walking in sin, to become a habitual sinner, which is a habitual, someone who's always habitually sinning, which is a sinner, is to believe in Jesus Christ. You have to believe that he died on the third day, he rose, and he did it for you. You have to believe that with your whole heart, and you have to comprehend that with your mind, that he shed his blood. He that was sinless died for the sinful, amen? And that's us, amen? Because we had no way to regulate our heart and our mind before Jesus came. But now the word of God has come to life, amen? A quickening spirit, amen, made us alive and made us free from sin and death. Amen. And so for us to get out of that, you can't do it on your own. God knew you couldn't do it on your own. The laws, the Jews had over 600 laws, and yet they still could not obey God. They could not stay out of sin because there was no renewing of their mind and there was no renewing of their heart. But now, hallelujah, we have that opportunity. Hallelujah. We have the opportunity to get it right with God, to get back in right standing with him, amen. And that's what Jesus came to do, amen. And for those of you who never heard it, amen, we have an episode called What Jesus Came to Do. And I admonish you to listen to that if you have never listened to it before. But for you to be able to walk sinless or keep defying your natural way, which is a sinful nature, you have to believe in Christ Jesus. You have to, hallelujah, Jesus, thank you, Lord. You have to be in a place where you believe with your whole heart and mind. And then, like, hallelujah, then the word of God will start to transform your mind. Then the word of God will try to transform your heart. And then what you need next, amen, let's get over to John. John chapter 16, I'm going to read verse 13 for you. He said, how be it, when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now you have to believe, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the third day, he rose and he did it for you. You will be saved from your sins. But then after that, amen, you have to have the spirit of truth, amen. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. He'll bring you into the knowledge of the truth. When we sin with our hearts and minds, it's just we don't know. But God will say, no, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't go there, amen. Don't think that. Cast down imaginations and high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. The Holy Spirit will give you the power that you need to overcome sin. That's why Jesus said in Revelation, we overcome him being the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimonies. Amen. And so now, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit would teach you how to get out of sin. Amen. So I hope that blessed you all, fellow truth finders. Listen, if you have any comments or questions, you can always go back on. Amen. You can send us a message or a comment. Amen. But I want you to know, amen, that you can be free. You may be in a life of sin, but God can help you be free from that sin because he came that you may have life and you may have that more abundantly. Amen. So God bless you all. I thank you all for joining us. I put the scriptures down there so you can go back and read those things so you may know, amen, hallelujah, what sin looks like, and then ask Jesus to help you, hallelujah, help the Holy Spirit to help you get out of those things that you may be free. We know who the Son set free is free indeed. So God bless you all. I thank you on today for joining us. And listen, I need you to know it's the truth that makes you free. God bless you and have an awesome, awesome day.